This insert is brought to you by Radio K Pulpit 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.
And a very good afternoon to our listeners. We're so excited to have you on our Radio K Pulpit segment. I'm Kelvin.
And I'm Terry.
And this is Couples of Destiny. We're so excited to have you. And we know that you are excited as well, because we are on the topic talking about stress in April. And it's a real thing.
Yes, it is. You know, families, couples, friends, relatives, followers, listeners out there, good afternoon. I greet you in the wonderful name of Jesus. And, you know, when two lives come together in marriage, it just, it's not just a merging of hearts, but also a merging of habits, of histories, of households, and hope. So today, while that is such a beautiful union, we also want to bring an increased knowledge today, or of things that we've observed even in our lives, you know, that can clutter our lives, both visible and invisible. So get your coffee, get your friends, share this broadcast, and get on to the program with us.
Awesome. We want you to stay tuned in. Please, you know, send us a message on our Facebook line, our Facebook on, or send us a message through Facebook and on our WhatsApp line as well. Our WhatsApp line is 081-729-1657, and connect with us on Facebook. We want to hear from you. How is this benefiting you? How is the show benefiting you? There's so many topics. We've got another topic coming up next month. But like I said, this month we're focusing on stress and anxiety.
Yeah, tell us what your stresses are. Tell us what your anxieties are, you know, or just let us know what you're battling with, and we can help navigate through this. All right.
Correct. We're going to just go over to a song segment by Case, Ball, and Shears called That Kind of Love. A beautiful song there by Case, Ball, and Shears. That Kind of Love. Family, you are listening to the Couples of Destiny here, and we're so excited because we are on our back on our topic, and this week we're delving into a little bit more about the topic on anxiety and stress, but we're talking about reducing stress and anxiety by, big word, decluttering. Decluttering. I don't know about you, love, but I'm a cluttered person, you know. I gather things, but I tend not to get rid of them. So I mix and match things all the time. And at the end of the day, it confuses me, it frustrates me, it gives me a bit of anxiety. So I think we're going to dig into a lot of these things. As you mentioned earlier on, we're talking about tangible and intangible things. It's almost like a hoarder, where they hoard things and they keep it, and there's no place for anything else. And so you can't move forward in life because of these things. But there's a few scriptures I want to read just to help you understand that anxiety is real. Proverbs 12, verse 25 says, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. So maybe there's someone this afternoon that's a bit weighed down by some anxiety that you're facing. 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, I want you to be free from anxieties. I pray this afternoon that every person listening, every couple listening, will be free from whatever anxiety they are facing. So, you know, knowingly and unknowingly, couples, whether you are newly married or maybe you're in a relationship right now, or you're married for quite a few years, knowing or unknowingly, we tend to bring these tangible things that I'm talking about, or the intangible things, into the relationship. And many of these things are, I call it clutter, because they consume your time. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it shouldn't be consuming your time, because how many of us know we only have 24 hours in a day, and that's precious time. And the Bible speaks about us redeeming the time. So if that clutter, whether it be tangible or intangible, is taking up your precious time, and you're unable to focus on something else which is important, and you don't get to it, what happens to you? You start stressing. You start becoming anxious at the end of the day. So many times, you know, with partners, we're being sensitive to each other, which I believe many of you are. You're sensitive to each other's needs, but sometimes certain sentimental things can get in the way of progress, you know. You hold on to stuff, to things that are sentimental to you, and say, "Oh no, I can't get rid of this," you know, or "This is my time," you know, "This is my weekend," or "This is my whatever it is that you know that you're holding on to." And so, when you busy with things like that, at the end of the day, and it's not really productive, you know, because you've got more important things to do, then you become a bit stressed out because, "Oh, I forgot I need to do this because I focused on that at the end of the day." So we're gonna dig through some of the stuff this afternoon in those areas. An example, the spouse might not say how they really feel about something of a sentimental nature that was passed down from the partner's grandparents, for example, and so they would bottle up these feelings up. For example, there's something in the house and it's maybe an old couch or it's an old settee, whatever. And so my wife, I'll use our example. It's not a real example, but I'll use us as an example. Say, for example, I got something from my grandparents and it's in my house, and I'm like, "Honey, this I got from my grandparents, and I keep this in the house, and it's really precious wood, made from precious wood, you know, mahogany, whatever the good wood is, and it's many years old." And so my wife will look at this thing and say, "Oh, my husband is so in love with this thing," but it's frustrating her. It's causing her stress, anxiety, because it's giving off maybe an odor because it's so old, and some wood does give off odor, and she doesn't like it. So unnecessary stress it's caused, but she might not say anything because she's conscious of the importance of that to me, right?
Yeah, you know, it's actually a real story. Mm. One of it, maybe you've forgotten about it. We had a table, which you still have standing outside on the balcony somewhere, of your late grandmother.
Yes.
And she passed on how many years ago, and the table was 90 odd years old. Maybe she got it when she got married, so it could be 80 odd years old. And I've been wanting to restore this thing, but because of sentimental value to belong to his beloved grandmother, I dare not throw it in the garbage, you know, because I wanted to repaint the legs, I wanted to restore the wood. It's actually a cute little table. So, yeah, but if it's no longer needed in your space, I mean, we're all modern now. We're in the 21st century, for goodness sake. We don't live with old stuff, although there are people who love antiques and things like that. I have no problem with it. You know, I mean, we have two little oak tables that we bought for next to nothing when we were in the Free State, and it's still a lovely commodity. I mean, although we don't do oak any longer, I feel like repainting that as well. But the carpenters will probably tell me, "Don't be crazy. That is such expensive wood. You're going to waste it by painting it," you know. But we're just going to make everything look modern. But you know what? Coming back to clutter, you know, sometimes we think it's just about stuff. It's not the tangible stuff only, you know. Sometimes it's anything that accumulates or takes up space, be it physically, emotionally, spiritually, even mentally, you know. It takes up space. It takes up residence because we allow it, you know. And I hear what you say, you are a hoarder, you clutter, all of that. It's only because, you know, when I see your desk is a bit overwhelming, then I know how busy you get. So I will try and reorder your stuff and put all your receipts one side, your work stuff one side, and church things another side, and our home things another side, you know. So you basically need a PA, which I am not. I'm your wife, for goodness sake, honey. Come on, I'm just being real here, listeners. Don't we sometimes feel like we need to be real with our partners and say, "I'm your wife. I want to love you. I want to cook you. I want to take care of you. I want us to do things together. I don't want to be your peer. I don't want to be your secretary." Although I have the gift of administration, I just naturally gravitate towards organizing things. But it gives me pleasure to serve you in that way, although it takes a lot of my time because I'm a planner. I'm a vision board person, so I live according to what my daily things are. So if I put in my administration time, hour and a half for home or home administration, guess what? It will include decluttering his desk, but it does overwhelm me sometimes. So this kind of clutter unchecked can cause a lot of tension and undue stress in relationships. So it's what we're saying is it will hinder communication.
Yeah.
But be open about it. Don't hold those feelings and all these pent up emotions that it just blurt out one day and say all the wrong things because you didn't really get to the bottom of the issue. So increasing stress and anxiety in the relationship is because of the unsaid things.
Yeah. You know? And that's so important, you know, because, again, you don't want to hurt your partner's feelings because it's of a sentimental nature. Now we're talking about tangible things and you're into that intangible things, but I want to talk a little bit about bad habits, okay? because all of us have some bad habits. So clutter can form, can be in a form of bad habits. And one of it I will touch on this often is poor timekeeping.
Hmm.
You know, with poor timekeeping, and somebody, what does that have to do with clutter? Well, if you don't keep time of your daily activities, the daily things that you need to do, you can run over with time. For example, maybe it's the spouse, your partner, that's doing the pickup and the drop-off with your children. And because you are busy with other things that are not as important as picking up or dropping off the children, assisting her in that way or him in that way. And so you are now causing tension in the relationship, mm-hmm. and there's stress and anxiety in your partner's space. And so what I'm trying to say is we don't respect each other's time. So you need to respect time. You've only been given 24 hours a day. And so don't let any other clutter, don't let any, maybe that's your time for games, or it's your time for lunch, or it's your time for whatever. Be considerate at the end of the day, because your spouse is taking a major load here. And is it balanced? Is the relationship really balanced in that way?
Isn't that amazing? That it's so beautiful that we each have our own vehicles. We can each do our own thing. We have our own different meetings, and they'll go places together and respect each other's time. Yeah, that can also be very stressful. But when you say, what is this got timekeeping got to do with clutter? And I thought about that question. You know, I don't know what the listeners may be thinking about that. You know, is timekeeping really an issue with clutter? Because I feel like it's more like a conflict trigger.
Yeah.
You know, and disorganization can become frequent point of tension.
Yeah.
So when we don't speak about it, it creates tension because, you know, and I sometimes know when my husband is in a hurry, he sits in the vehicle and he'll wait more, or he'll pace up and down my bedroom door while I'm busy doing my makeup or my hair, and I will look
waiting
at him.
And
then
you.
I will just say, stop it.
Yeah.
Stop it, because I feel the pressure, and stress. I don't need that pressure.
Yeah.
I have my clock on my dressing table right next to my mirror. I have two clocks, actually, to remind me that I need to be done at certain time.
But the point is respecting each other's time, right, at the end of the day.
Yeah,
and
course.
That's what we do, and we've learned. We've come a long way as well. So we're getting stuck into quite a few things. We're going to go over to a song break, and we're coming back. We'd love to hear from the listeners this afternoon. Send us a note on Facebook, anything you need to hear and you'd like to comment on. We're going into a song by Brian Dukson and Brenda Jans. It's time for The Reign of God. Family, we're talking about reducing anxiety and stress by decluttering, and we started getting into this bit of clutter, spoke about some bad habits, one of them poor timekeeping. So if you are a poor timekeeper, look into that at the end of the day. Don't cause your partner stress, you know, mm-hmm. be on time. You know, it's really being respectful of each other at the end of the day. And then there's something else, you know, there's like slothfulness and uncleanliness. I put those two together because it speaks about laziness and being unclean. And sometimes, our spouses are sensitive to each other, and they don't mention these things, but they build up the stress. They build up the anxiety, all these type of things. So, you know, some of us allowed our parents to do all our chores. I remember my wife would, when I met her, she would, you know, it was just an assumption, you know, because I grew up like that in the home. My mom used to do stuff for me. So when we got married and you know, men, I don't know if other men are like me, but, you know, you take your socks off and you just throw it one side, you know, and everything else, you just throw it on one side. And so I thought, you know what, even though there's the washing basket, do you just throw it outside or, you know, leave it in your bedroom? And after a while, I'd notice after the second day that my socks are still in the same place. And I thought to myself, but why is it not in the... And then she said to me, oh, is it my job to pick up your socks? I didn't know that. And so we had quite a giggle. And then that was the first time and the last time that I realized that, oh, okay, boy, your mom's not here. You didn't marry your mom, okay? You married your best friend at the end of the day. So you got to do your own stuff at the end of the day. So family, what we're saying in relationships, we don't realize that because the other person's stress, they're doing these things only because you never learned to do these things. You've got behaviors that you need to unlearn certain things, you know, mm-hmm. that you grew up with at the end of the day.
Yeah, that's so true. Because, you know, when you come into a marriage, like I said earlier, we both come with baggage, you know, and we need to learn to navigate through what works for you and what doesn't work for you. Or I would say, please, whenever you use the towel, don't leave the wet towel on the floor or on the wall or whatever. Hang it up, you know, or hang it out, whatever the case, or throw it in the laundry basket. So these are little things that causes tension. Don't complain about your husband or say, oh, I must pick up his socks again, or oh, I must pick up his shirt again. Why doesn't he throw his things in the basket? And, you know, just speak about it. Because I was speaking about tangible clutter, and tangible clutter at the end of the day are things like physical items. You know, we spoke about double furniture, your family's, my family's, our furniture. Yeah. We like used, unused gifts. There could be clothing, a huge amount of clothing. You know, I had so much at one time. I said to my husband, that scripture rings true. You know, it says that God says, our test me now in this and see not that I will open up the windows of heaven upon you, that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I sort of saw that so tangible, evident in our home, because there was just so many blessings, no room enough. We had to hire a storeroom. I had to start giving things away. So at the end of the day, I'll just open up a thrift shop with a lot of the stuff so others can be blessed with it. You know, so there's this thing, this gadget. We buy so many unused, unnecessary gadgets that we don't need. It's just because it's a nice thing. We see this one has it or that one has it. Although I am a gadget queen, I like gadgets that will make that make my work more efficient and effective, right? So those are the things. Then there's paperwork. I was speaking about earlier about my husband. I have to help him with his paperwork. He's become very diligent in sorting out his bills because he's got to capture a lot of stuff for SARS and all of that. So there's receipts and warranties and sentimental keepsakes, cards, business card, greeting cards, birthday cards. I mean, a lot of it now is e-cards, you know, but we still have those sentimental things of the tangible clutter that we're speaking about, shared spaces that become so chaotic and disorganized. When you don't have one person that's going to be organized, your house is going to look a mess and you're going to feel depressed. Yeah. You know, a lot of people, when you speak to them, they walk into our counseling rooms, we see where they come from, and we just, you know, you notice these things about the way they dress, the way they carry themselves, and also their home environment. Environment says a lot about a person. So then there's the digital clutter, the overflowing inboxes. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know how many of you have more than four inboxes. Endless notifications on your phones or on your digital stuff, you know, shared calendars.
Social media.
Then there's the shared calendars. I know my husband doesn't like it, but I share all my stuff with him, especially when it comes to ministry. And then, of course, our home. I don't share my work calendar with him and other things. So I do share because there are benefits to that, right? So I don't intend to clutter your calendar. So I only do important stuff so you can know where we have to be at a certain time. So that is the tangible clutter, right? Then going back to the intangible clutter, we're speaking about emotional baggage.
Yeah.
People come in, like you say, you know, it's a learned behavior. They've learned this in the home. The parent modeled this to them, or their teacher modeled it, or an uncle. And they take this into the home. So it's this unresolved past issues that comes into emotional clutter. And that is the kind of intangible baggage. Not everyone sees that. There's trauma and grief attached to it. So you don't know why your partner is acting out in certain ways, and that is sort of cluttering your communication. It's cluttering your intimacy as well, because a mental overload is another one. Mental overload. Too many responsibilities and commitments.
Yeah.
Responsibilities or commitments.
You know, if I get back to the bad habits, for example, if we can just intertwine this now, one of the bad habits that I find people, and this, you might think you're doing a good thing, because it is a good thing, but it becomes a bad thing. Okay? It becomes a bad habit. I call it this, being the savior to everyone. You know people like that? I mean, they feel that they need to be there. For mom, for dad, for child, for uncle, for auntie, for brother, for sister, for the priest, for whoever else, you got to be there. You're the savior for everyone. And that at the end of the day, there were some important things that you needed to do in your personal life, or even being with your partner, you know, for that afternoon, but you spent time being a savior to someone else. At the end of the day, you don't have enough time to do what you need to do. And so now you're in a place of anxiety mm-hmm. and stress because you can't get to the other important things because you prioritize mm-hmm. the savior mindset mm-hmm. that you have.
Yeah. No, that's so true. You know, we have people, you know, they come speak to us. And in fact, this past week, I had two people mention this. And they feel obligated to take care of their family who are addicts. Mm-hmm. You know, and we had the conversation, and we all know about being an enabler and being there as a sole provider or however the case may be, or you the one I have to discipline or bring in tough love, however. But the enabler is quite a common thing nowadays, you know, because we're not helping that person. I mean, I don't want to get too much into that right now. We'll speak about that again. But that is also a type of intangible clutter because they bring in that stress into the relationship, for example. So they are giving all their monies to their families who are battling because there's no food in the house, the mother's stressing and all of that, or the husband is giving money to a father who is an alcoholic or an abusing whatever, whatever. And at the end of the day, their own home is suffering because they are being God to everyone else. Yeah. You know, I mean, one time the Lord said to me years ago, get out of my way kind of thing. He didn't say it in such a horrible way. He just says, I cannot be God to everyone. I'm not God. He said, you are not God. You know, I'm a good person. We all think we're doing good, but our good works are like filthy rags before the Lord. Yeah. So I had to do spirit-led giving, you know. So I want to encourage someone out there. You may be in a situation that you are not even aware of this intangible clutter in your life that is bringing stress and anxiety upon you because you can't pay your bills. You don't know what to tell your spouse because you're busy enabling someone out there who has hands and feet and has intelligence to go and do a job, go and work and find something to do. And yet you are feeding them by giving them your money that you so work so hard for. So this might be a very sensible and sensitive topic, but I want to encourage you today that communication noise is an intangible clutter as well, because there's this misunderstanding and the unspoken expectations. You know, it's so common nowadays. So the last one I want to mention is spiritual distractions. We spoke about spiritual distractions, spiritually being cluttered, and a lot of shared spiritual grounding or time is what we have to work out in our lives. You know, 1 Corinthians 7:32 says, I want you to be free from anxieties.
Yeah.
The Lord says that. Be free from anxieties.
Awesome. Well, I hope you're listening this afternoon. This is a very important topic. Please send us your messages. We'd love to hear from you. And we're going over to a song segment by Matthew West called Restored. Yes, we're talking about reducing stress and anxiety through decluttering, family. And thank you to Leonidu, Absolutely Practical, one of my favorite shows on Cape Pulpit thus far. Thank you, Leah, for that. And then we also have Deslin that says, love the topic, because these are real daily issues that occurs when not dealt with. It causes more stress. Isn't that so, love?
It does. Like I said, you know, speak up.
Yeah.
Or write a letter if you don't want to speak, if you're not a confrontational person, or you're afraid of what your spouse might say. That kind of fear is not from the Lord, because you need to have an open relationship. Sit him down and say, I need to talk to you. You know, go back to that romance. Go back to the time when you were dating where you could tell him everything. He was your best friend or she was your best friend. Yeah. You know, don't lose that. You know, just rekindle that flame again.
You know, we're talking a little bit about the bad habits that we form. And it's really these, we think it's good habits, but they're actually bad habits that eventually cause us stress because we don't live balanced lives at the end of the day. You're imbalanced because you're doing so much good on the one end and you're missing out on the other end that you need to do the important stuff. And we spoke about the laziness, the poor timekeeping, being slothful, uncleanly. We spoke about you wanting to be the savior. But also what's important is, I believe, and like my wife mentioned it earlier on, is upskill yourself. So if you're married, you know, I don't know about some men always hand everything. Honey, can you do this? Honey, can you send that message? Honey, can you, you know, you know how to work this thing and you know how to do this. And my wife is the gadget queen and I'm actually in IT. So I'm supposed to be very smart, you know, because I'm a developer, programmer, all sorts of stuff. But I just hand it over to her because she learns certain things very quickly. And it's just easier that way. But the point I want to make this afternoon is our spouses, many of us, many of them get very frustrated because you're not taking the lead on or taking responsibility for your own stuff. So you tend to hand it over to the partner to say, can you do this for me? You say it so nice. You do it so nice. And I speak about that, especially with ministry as well. You know, my wife's good with certain things, and so I'll give it to her at the end of the day. She doesn't have time. So I stress her out instead of, you know, just taking it back and doing it. So if you need to upskill yourself with technology, for example, or you need to learn to type a document, you know, get to learn what Microsoft Word does or Excel, whatever, doing the finances, whatever, start upskilling yourself in the relationship. Then also get yourself, like she mentioned earlier on, we know vehicles, they're no longer luxury at the end of the day. It's necessities. We need vehicles in our lives. So my wife's got a busy schedule and I've got a busy schedule. So we decided many years ago, the first few years of our marriage, we put in the budget to plan for a second vehicle because she needed to be somewhere. She couldn't wait for me to come and pick her up and drop her and all sorts of things. It caused so much stress and anxiety because she missed appointments. I missed appointments. You said you were going to be here at 4 o'clock and it's now 5 o'clock, whatever. Unnecessary arguments. So we have two vehicles. It's not a luxury family. It's a necessity at the end of the day. We budgeted for it. We needed it. So maybe that's your situation right now and you're dependent on your spouse. Or maybe you don't have a license. Upskill yourself. Mm-hmm. Get a license. Oh, I'm afraid to die. Get over that fear. Get prayed for. Get yourself, go for your learners, go for your license, and you can take the next step. You are reducing stress in your relationship in that way.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. You know what, if you don't, if you say, oh, I can't afford another vehicle or I want to drive, you know what? Dream big. Ask God for those big goals, you know? God is the God of the impossible.
Yep.
I'm not saying this just because we have it. We didn't have it in the beginning. We had to plan. And I'm a goal planner, vision caster. You know, if you want to know more, just contact me and I'll tell you all about it. If you want to follow us on our pages and you'll hear all about vision casting and goal planning. We touched on it in the earlier topics, beginning of the year, vision for the year. So setting our goals is so important. You know, it helps you bring things into alignment. So I want to just quickly mention, honey, you know, there are ways that clutter that causes stress and anxiety in marriage. We spoke on a lot of ways, how visible, tangible, invisible, and so on. Mm. So the overstimulation of this kind of clutter, you know, it's the spaces and all of that, it makes it difficult for the mind to relax.
Yeah.
And sometimes people are so overly anxious because they see this clutter around them and they cannot relax.
Yeah.
You know, and see, when you look around your space, for example, look at your environment, see what you need to move, take out of the way, so you can open up the spaces, get more clarity. Less is more, you know.
Yeah.
So give yourself that space. And then, of course, the disconnection. The disconnection, that clutter creates distance with your partner, both physically and also emotionally.
Yeah.
When you don't speak, like Desline says, you know, we need to speak. Most of the things aren't spoken about. Don't be afraid to address it. You know, like I said, make a note of it. Sometimes I make a note of something big that I want to remember, but I also want my husband to see. It's like faith with hints, man, you know. Put it down somewhere where he can see it or where she can see it.
I see a lot of those around the house.
And it's like, I'm not going to ask him. I'm asking the Lord, but I also want him to see what I'm praying. God, no, it's not manipulation. Don't even go there. It's not manipulation. I just do it because I know I'm going to speak to him about it, and he knows that's my kind of prayer. I sometimes don't pray soft. I pray loud so that, you know, faith with hints. No, but Bible says faith without works is dead. Yeah. So that for me is works, isn't it?
You're putting it up. Put up the vision.
Yeah. Then there's the decision fatigue. Decision fatigue is just that too much stuff or too many unspoken issues that overwhelm our daily choices. You know, people, friends, listeners out there, this is a big thing. You know, don't allow things to overwhelm you that you cannot have unspoken issues. Don't overwhelm yourself because it's going to make it difficult for you to decide. You become all scattered all over. I know the different types of personalities. I'm a type 2 and a type 4, but mostly type 2 personality. So I like to make sure that I have enough things with me. Because of me having experience being an event planner and doing weddings and all those kind of things, I always had to make sure I had more than enough than what the client is asking for. Or when I'm going into a counseling room, I'm going to make sure, okay, this person is, this couple is coming for that, or that person's coming for this business coaching. I make sure I have enough resources available at hand to be able to serve and improve my serve, right? So the last one is the loss of sacred spaces. Mm. My most favorite. Your home or relationship can stop feeling like a place of refuge.
Yeah. I mean, if I bring back the example I used about, let's say the furniture, just being silly now, the furniture, maybe, you know, we modernize as we go, as we grow. And men need to understand this, that women see things differently. So men, if you're listening out there, women see things differently. When I walk into a house, I see three things, okay? I just see the furniture, I see the couch, I see the fridge, I see whatever. But my wife will see the couch and the color of the fabric and the buttons on it and all. So they're quite intense with that. So we need to understand that women see things differently. So what I thought in my mind was, you know, great for this place, they have a different idea. And so when they get up and they look at this and they're like, oh, it just gives them a bad feeling, and that feeling causes them to become stressful, whatever the case may be. And you need to talk about these things at the end of the day. They want you to be happy. They want us to be happy. But we need them to be happy as well, our spouses, our wives as well, to be happy. So you know, accommodate each other in that way, you know.
That is so true, Annie. I feel like, you know, a lot of people don't realize, and maybe they do, but I want to encourage somebody today that you might identify with some of the things we're speaking about, you know, and you might be listening to on the replay. Give us your take on that, particularly what really stands out for you in this thing. And the Bible tells in John 15 verse 4, he says, remain in me and I will remain in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it remains in the vine, so neither can you unless you remain in me.
Yeah.
And you know, when we remain in God, He can carry us through. He will give us the boldness. I always say, if you cannot speak to your spouse, go and pray, because prayer makes you bold. And then after you've prayed and given God your stuff, God will give you direction. He'll give you clarity. True. He'll give you an instruction. He'll tell you how and when. The True. Timing to speak to your spouse is so important.
Correct.
You cannot speak to him when you're up and in a flare of some disagreement, some disagreement, and just bring that in there. You know, yeah. We just want to bring this in there. Wait it out. Don't speak when you're all flustered and angry and anxious. Wait for the right moment. It's so important. So, couples, I want to leave you something that you can maybe discuss with your partner tonight when you have a quiet time. And then maybe after the break, I'll give you a few practical steps, just 3 or 4. Just number one, what kind of clutter, be it tangible or intangible, shows up in your marriage? Mm. Make a note of it. The question. Ask your spouse as well. Number two, how does clutter, whether physical or emotional, affect your sense of peace? Think about it. How does clutter? So, and the other question to ask you today is, are there specific areas of your home or your relationship that feels crowded or chaotic?
Mm.
Very important question. And then, what are you holding on to that we might need to release? Speak to your spouse. They need your help. What systems or rituals could we create to regularly clear space so that we can reconnect?
Awesome. We're going to go over to a song right now by Brandon Heath, Got the Love. Family, we're talking about reducing stress and anxiety through decluttering. So how is the decluttering happening and working for you this afternoon as you've been listening to us? One last thing I want to mention, you know, about a bad habit is buy what you need, not what you want. That's an issue in relationships. We tend to buy things that we want instead of things that we need. You know, spending habits are dangerous for some of us, and it puts us in stressful situations. And so, you know, we buy things we don't need to impress people we don't know. Come on, you just buy things that you need in your life, and that's important. Make sure so that you can reduce the stress at the end of the day.
Yeah, Bible says God shall supply all of our need according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. You know, I want to give you those practical steps to move toward clarity and peace in your relationship. Gave you some tips and questions you can work up with your spouse. And the practical steps towards is do a clutter inventory together. Mm-hmm. You know, so you walk through your spaces and go through, name all it, tell them what makes you, why you feel overwhelmed about that, and discuss the art, the thing, you know, and maybe have 3-4 boxes, say this is to store, this is to give away, this is to send to charity, to the charity, I'll contact Terry for her thrift shop. Okay. But I have to put that in there. Come on now. So, you know, and find your box 1, 2, and 3, what's important, what you'll keep, what's for later, you'll declutter that again. So just go through together then. Designate a shared decluttering day. You know, designated day. Do the inventory. So that's what we're going to do, and that's what we're going to throw. Then do the decluttering day. Okay, then you take the stuff, you put it and move it to wherever. Make it a ritual or something. Play some music, you know, make it fun. Pour some juice or whatever the case may be and have it fun. Light a candle if you want to have a sacred ceremony on it, you know. Do whatever works for you. Have it, make it fun, you know. Make it something that you both can look forward to. And have honest conversations about the emotional and mental cluttering. You know, honest, be honest about it. Don't hide your feelings, you know, create a safe space where you can talk so that you can also listen. Don't be the one to always want to give an answer or
And
sometimes we as coaches and counselors, many people feel like they got to give an answer to everything. It's not true. You know, we've got to just be good listeners and help them find the answers. So simplify your routines. That's another thing that you can start putting into practice. Moving toward the simplify routines, choose what matters most and let go of the rest.
Awesome.
I've done that. I know what I'm speaking about, and I feel so much lighter. It's like, oh, I'm traveling light. You know, you need to get my book. It's a downloadable PDF on vision casting and goal planning. That will really help you because there's some navigations through there, you know, that helps you. So make room for peace in your relationship, in your personal life. Make room for peace. Choose one space, physical or relational, to intentionally, that space that you want to do, and clear it intentionally for something that you need to just protect that space. That is your sacred space. So I want to leave you with a prayer today. Is that okay? Can I pray for the listeners today?
Go for it.
If you're willing to just wait a little bit, I'll just pray a prayer with us. Let us close our eyes and just give the Lord the glory and the honor for all that He's doing. Father, we thank You, Lord, that marriage is such a beautiful journey that You've ordained, Father God, between two people, Lord, as we've weaved our lives together in a story, God, that is still unfolding day by day. Father, we thank You, Lord, even this like a tapestry unfolding, Father God, continues to grow, Lord, that there may be certain threads of God along the way that needs to be pulled out, threads that are worn out, threads that are not fitting anymore, or that is just being, just to untangle the busy lives, Father God. I pray, Lord, that You will remove this beautiful, remove this thread, these threads, God, to bring in a beautiful design that You've created, Lord. We are the tapestry that You are weaving, Father God. Declutter the space in our spirit, in our soul, our mind, our bodies, Father God. Yes, I pray, Lord, that we can create more space for joy in our lives. Yeah. Father, we come before You, Lord, with hearts that are open and willing for change.
Yes,
ask You, God, to start with us, and let Your blessing be continually over the union that You brought together on these couples, Father God. Bind them together, Lord, by that third cord that is not easily broken, Father, in spirit, in purpose, in soul. Father, let the rhythm of their hearts beat in unison, Father God, so that even in silence, God, that we can understand each other. Where the world would pull us apart, Father God, I pray, Lord, that Your love, let Your love be that anchor that holds fast, O God. Even where storms rage and shadows threaten, Father God, let Your covenant shine brighter than ever, Father God. Be the God and the center of our world, of our lives, of our marriage, oh God, be the center of it all. We honor you, Lord. We love you. Yes. We bless you. We thank you for your love. And help us, Lord, not to fight against each other, but to always be a support for one another, Lord. Even in these differences, oh God, that our strengths and our challenges, Lord, let it be a testimony of your grace. Grant each and every one the wisdom, oh God, to listen with compassion, Lord, and courage to speak the truth in love. In the name of Jesus, Lord, restore the places in each and every one, Father God, that feels dry or distant, Lord, and breathe new life into every promise that they've made unto you, Father God. So birth something in each and every one of us, O God, as we seek you with all of our hearts, in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're excited to be with you this afternoon. Connect with us next week once again, Wednesday between 12 and 1 on Couples of Destiny. We're out for now. Until next week.
Goodbye. Bye now. Have a wonderful week.
This insert was brought to you by Radio K Pulpit, 7 to 9 a.m. Please visit kpulpit.co.za.